second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Amen. You could not tell she was nervous. Have any of you ever sung before someone? Before, I don't know if you have. Some of you have. Obviously, Zoe has, and some of the rest of you have. Michael has. I tried once, and then I was asked never to do it again. So, once I even did it with a duet with my dad, and I don't know, Ron, I think you may have been part of that trio, and Edie still said, she said, I'd rather you not ever sing again. So, anyhow, appreciate that. Zoe, that was great. That was great. Thank you very much for offering to the Lord what you just gave him. What a wonderful thing it is. Well, we're glad that you're here today, and we hope and pray that you get something good for your coming. I don't think any of you want to come and get nothing for it. By the way, you've talked where the story began, and we hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we can find a great picture of some things happening there in Luke 2 that would tell us about some of the backdrop for that. And you'll hear some of the different messages and some songs this month of December that will relate to it. But not everyone responded when the angel said, Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Not all did as did the shepherds. There are a lot of responses to the birth of Christ. Whether it would be Herod's, whether it be the city of Jerusalem, whether it be Mary herself, or whether it be the shepherds, they had different responses, and tonight's message is very, very applicable, if that's a word, applicable, however you say that word. I'd have to look it up, see how to pronounce it. But nonetheless, it's very practical so that you and I might see how we truly have responded. We may have received him as our Savior, but maybe we're a little bit like the song, I Wonder as I Wonder. Have you ever wondered why he would do what he's done for you? It's an amazing thing. It's amazing. In your psalm book, why don't you take your psalm book out, and if you look at this with me, this is a book on a song on page 109. And listen as Mr. Nikes has penned these words, composed the music that goes along with this song, I Wonder as I Wonder. W-O-N-D-E-R, in other words, my imagination, my heart cannot take in as I pilgrim through this life. I wonder as I wonder out under the sky how Jesus the Savior did come to die for poor ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wonder out under the sky. And you then can see the message unfold. It's reality. In verse 2, when Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow's stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a star light did fall, the promise of the ages it then did recall. I wonder. In verse 4 says, verse 3, let's do that too. If Jesus had waited for any wee thing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have had it because he was the King. But he chose. And this piece of poetry has been put to music. And then verse 4, I wonder, as I wonder out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die. And you think about that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Our verse today, I don't know if you can see behind me, just a slide I got from Paul Chappell. He has some resources, and I like them. It goes along with my message. The message is find him, but here it says, discover your destiny, make right choices in a world full of wrong. I would like for you to find him today. Our passage, our text, is taken from Matthew's account in chapter number 2, verse number 1. See if you can find that. By the way, you know the Bible is divided into two sections, the Old Testament and the New. And the New, the 27 books, is begun with the book of Matthew. So you go where the Bible is divided for you, a new believer. And it is good, by the way, to see all of you here today. Some of you haven't been able to be with us for a while, whether work or, well, Margie and Ken, it's good to see you. I don't want to embarrass you, but she has really had some tough woes. And it's so good to see that Wilson's here with us today. I won't tell you that I saw them at Whataburger eating a burger like I like to eat a week ago, but I know they had some things like many of you. Some of you have traveled Texas, other places, and you're back with us today. We pray and hope that God speaks to you. The Seeking Christ at Christmas is my title, or this Christmas, Find Him. In that piece of poetry, and you'll see on this lovely table here, a nativity scene. Do you know there are a lot of things that really don't hold up to Bible? I don't mean that the way that sounds. The Bible is true, inspired, infallible, and errant. Not one error in the Bible, but we've made songs since then that don't hold up to the Bible. The Bible holds up, but what we think about what is said is sometimes tradition. Do you know there may have been more than three wise men? And necessarily, if you really study, they probably weren't there at the birth of the Christ child. It was probably a year or two later. And when Herod got word of that, that's when he said, come back and tell me where he is. And then, of course, we know prophetically it was given that Jesus would be taken away. He went to Egypt, and then he came back, and not to Bethlehem, his birthplace, but he came back. He went back to Nazareth, where he grew under the leadership of not his father, his one who raised him was Joseph, but Jesus was virgin birth. It's a wonderful story, but we mix these things together, and sometimes it makes for a good song, and it makes for good poetry that I read to you, and it makes for a good nativity scene. I'm not trying to destroy anyone here in your thought process. We're all familiar with the wise men coming from the east. It's true. And they saw a star. It's true. But a lot of misconception. Again, we just assume three wise men, some people call the Magi, because of the Christmas carol. We three kings of Orient are. Now you know why Edie doesn't want me to sing. I just give you a proof. Well, you say, well, why do they think that? Well, the song says, well, they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there's a message there as to why those particular things was given of them to have whatever it is that God moved upon them to go seek him, find Jesus. But why those particular gifts were given and messages have been preached. It's pretty good. The truth is, though, we do not know how many men traveled from the east, and probably more, because it was not safe to travel unless it was with a large group. And secondly, we assume that the wise men stood side by side with the shepherds, and I've already told you, when she delivered baby Jesus, they probably weren't there. Maybe others. But by, you know, everyone's understanding, we know that Herod slaughtered all the male children in Bethlehem 2 years and under because of the information received from those travelers. I want you to know this. Let me share this with you. That God had a way of saving you and me, and it was through his only begotten Son, and all these other things. Even today, there are a lot of bad things in the world, but you can still discover what God wants to do in your life as you wonder, as you think about your wandering as a pilgrim through this world. You ought to be amazed at how great God is, and nothing has escaped his attention, and he's preserved you and me, and he did that for his Son. I would like for you, in my little outline that I have today, is to share with you Find Him, and you might want to look on the back of your bulletin, sermon notes. You put the text down, Matthew 2, 1 through 11. If you found that, stand with me, please. I'd like to read that verses to you. The Word of God will not return to him void. Historically, this is not just a Christmas story. This is God's inspired, infallible Word, and we need to love it and live it and let it become real in our life. Actually, Matthew 2, 1. And by the way, if I do this Wednesday night, we have a great time. The crowd grew from the previous Wednesday to this last Wednesday. A lot more. We're giving out outlines. It's a small group study. We're doing the book of Philippians. And all my little slides, the whole time I had Philippians 2, it was supposed to have been Philippians 1, and no one shared with me till the end. So if I make a mistake, just wave your hand and we'll stop so everybody gets on the right page. But I want you to be in Matthew chapter 2. So verse 1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet. By the way, there's a lot more written of prophecy, and some of it is unfolding before our eyes. It's unfolding. Verse 6. And what was written there? And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor, capital G, that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And you know that not to be true. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced. He's a young child, not a babe, but they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, not a stable or an inn, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. This is the wise men, be it 2, 3, 4, 5 or more. They fell down. They worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to thank you for coming here today seeking Christ. Sometimes it's seek Christ at Christmas by looking to the sky. The wise men began their search because they saw a star. Look up to the skies. Not satisfied with seeking the earthly things. Something in the sky got their attention. God got their attention. They were not so tied to the earthly things that they missed what was going on in the heavens. I don't know if you really understand this or not. God is sovereign. He's ruling, he's reigning, and there is nothing that is happening that he hasn't permitted it to do. Whether it is a king, or whether it is an ISIS group, or whether it is a president, or whomever it may be that sits on his position, a prime minister, or whatever kind of ruler, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And it may be that he isn't one who orchestrates evil. No, God never does that. But God permits these things to happen as we make our choices, and he has said prophetically that nothing has escaped his attention. And he has final say. The thing about it is, we don't understand that he is sitting on the throne. We think of it in our mind, but we don't understand it full well in a rich, deep way in our heart. If we understood, we would seek the things which are above. If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2, maybe 3 and 4. In Colossians 1, it says, set your affections on things above. If you start looking above, you'll recognize that's where God the Father is, who loved you and me so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. Just as we described to you, historically took place there in a little town called Bethlehem. Been there. This last trip to Israel wasn't able to go to Bethlehem. West Bank, a Jewish guide. The first trip we had a Palestinian guide, and no problem getting to Bethlehem. Went right in with the bus and went where tradition says this is where Jesus was laying and this is where Mary gave birth and so forth. Rather interesting to see how church or society or whatever, have traditionalized everything as to where Jesus was. These fellows who went to worship fell as soon as they came into the presence, and you and I, as we gather in Jesus' name, two or three, he said he'd be here too. So automatically, you and I should have a sense of responsibility, as did they in that particular day, to worship him. And so we should come with mentality, with a heart desire to say, I want to worship him today. I want to look up to the sky. I want to look to the heaven. I know my God is real. I know he sent his only begotten Son. I'm going to look up, and I'm going to try to look past these things here on earth. Question, are you looking? I ask myself, am I looking? As a believer, I should allow heaven to have my heart. As believers, you should allow heaven to have your heart. In Colossians 3:1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Risen reflects the reality of resurrection. Jesus came to this world, as we have read to you there in Matthew 2. He came to die, he did, and was hung between heaven and earth, as was prophetically proclaimed before the world began. As he shed his blood for you and me, he was taken from the cross, and for 3 days and three nights, part of the great gospel, his death, that burial, and then resurrection. If ye then be risen, Jesus rose up from the grave. I know that's an Easter message, but it's appropriate today. You see, he only came to die. You and I birthed into this world with our first birth. Believe this. We believe that we've come to live, and we're going to give it all the gusto we can and do everything we can to get the most out of life. Jesus came to give everything he had to die. Looking up to the skies, if ye then be risen with Christ, that can only be real only to some of you in here. Now, I know God is no respecter of persons, but every one of you in here cannot apply this verse to your life. You cannot set your affections on things above unless you've been saved. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. In being saved, you have an identification. Galatians 2:20 says this. Well, we won't read it to you, but Galatians 2:20 says that it's this thing of faith. I've been crucified with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, then if we've been buried with him in the likeness of his death, that's the reason we baptize people. We're Baptists and we immerse because Jesus went down to Jordan and Baptist John immersed him and up from the grave, a watery grave representing the grave that Jesus was buried in, that tomb for 3 days and nights. And in Romans chapter 6, it says there, if we then be risen with Christ, Colossians 3, but in Romans 6, then we ought to walk in newness of life. So we can set our affections on things above. You see, if you're in here today and you're a pretender, and some of you are pretenders. Now, I don't know who you are, and I don't have any of you picked out. I don't go through the thing in my mind and say, well, yes, no, yes, yes. And because of some of your lack of fruit, I don't go through and judge you. That's not my job to judge you. God is going to take care of that. And you're going to stand before an almighty God who sits on the throne where our affections should be given. He's going to hold us accountable. And for those of us who have bent to our knees and said, God, have mercy on me and forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Save me, Lord. I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell. Save me this day. He can't lie. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that prayer of repentance then opens the door of heaven for you to have new life, a second birth experience. And that second birth experience, here's what happens. You become new in Christ, a new creature. Some of you have done that. Some of you are just Baptists. Being a Baptist won't get it. You got to be saved. Amen. And being saved means have the Holy Ghost in your life. And it means this, then, that it's appropriate that you can set your affections on things above and you can allow heaven to have your heart. You can look up to the skies. It says in verse 4, well, let me read it all to you. It says, seek those things in Colossians 3:1, which are above. That's the skies, which are above. What's there? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And the verse 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, allow heaven to be your life, give him your heart. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And you know, if we're not careful, now listen to me, please. Some of you only give me a half hour a week. Not that I earn or own or deserve any of that. I don't know why any of you would come to hear me. But in the short moment of time that you have here on a Sunday morning, you did well in choosing to become a person who hopefully is not spectating but participating and learning to worship and give him your whole heart. Listen to me. If you're not careful, and we wonder why the demise of our country, it goes to the demise of our church. We wonder why the degradation, the deterioration, the lack of energy and the things of God, the power of God in the church, it goes to the home. And we wonder why it's in the home. It's not just somewhat ambiguous thing. It's not just something we say, well, it's the homes. It's you and me not setting our affections on things above. We need to look to the skies. And if we're not careful, we get so focused on daily physical issues of life. That's all we think about. I watched the ball game yesterday. I'm surprised I mentioned it. You know, that football is a god. That sport has become a god. There's nothing wrong with me watching that football game. I liked it, and I'm a huge fan. But if that's all I can think about, it's on my mind here today, man, I gotta make sure I get rid of this trash. I don't want to worry about what I'm going to accumulate, another house or car or another sport or seeing the achievements. Nothing wrong with that. Some of us are huge fans here. Nothing wrong with that. But it should never come close as I wonder. As I wonder. I should never get over the wonder of God and his mighty work in my life, that he would reach down individually and touch me. Nor should you, as we wander through this as pilgrims. As believers, this world is not our home. We merely live here, and the things that we must do and give attention to physically are things that are important to God. And he says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. Yes. But we must allow heaven to control. It must control our lives, our thinking, our worldview. It must. Why? So we can live properly to please Christ. I say look up to the skies. Not just to the skies, but into the scripture. You and I need to look into the scriptures. We read of the men there in Matthew. They continued their search. Stopping point. An occasion to meet a king, Herod. There they are. Upon leaving him, like we do in life, you got to go work your 8 hours, your 10 hours, your 12 hours. Sometimes, you know, you can't keep the focus as you'd like, some particular reasons or whatever. I mean, you can't always be meditating or memorizing scripture when you're doing something very intricately involved. You can harm yourself or another, but you focus on those things. But as soon as they had their conversation with those people there, these wise men who were looking to the skies, continued their search by consulting the Word of God. Think about that. A lot of you are going to get real busy this afternoon, worrying about tomorrow and the day after. Some of you are worried about January already, and some of you are worried about your taxes. Some of you are worried about rent payments. Some of you are worried about hospital people. Some of you have people in the hospital, and so forth and so on. There are things that we concern ourselves with. But how did these men of the East tie the star phenomenon with the Messiah being born to the Jews? I think they must have really searched those books. And they must have really longed for God to speak to their heart. You know, the most logical thought you or I could ever have, the most logical thing that we might think about these men could be found in the Word of God. In particular, if you look in Numbers 24:17, it says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. Now you think about that. You know, whatever God said is going to happen. The rest of the Old Testament gives other great detail. Look at Isaiah. He said he'd be born of a virgin. Daniel speaks of a time of his coming. Micah said he spoke of the city of his birth. And perhaps they didn't have access, these wise men who came, who looked to the stars. Now they look to the scripture. Now we see that they responded in faith. And you and I need to know that God's word is a rich treasure of blessings for those who dig and study it. Can you ask yourself this question and answer affirmatively? Have I dug deeply this past week? Have I studied his word? Have I tried to find how it personally applies to me? And if you answer no, you're missing out. You may not be a pretender. You may know where you got saved and when you got saved. You may know that Jesus is your Savior. Well, don't just look to the sky and see that he sent his only begotten Son. His star was shown to those men. But look to the scriptures where you and I can look today and find it's real. We need to dig and study it. Matthew 13:52 says, then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. You can look at that great chapter 13 of Matthew. It is a great chapter. But these men believed and responded to what was written, and it was brought to them, and it brought them to him. Now think with me. Numbers, Daniel, Isaiah, Micah, geography, place, city, Bethlehem, time. It was coming. We can look at all the scriptures. These wise men must have studied and dug. And what did it do? It brought them to where he was. Some of us never get excited. Some of us never shout. Some of us never tell anybody anything. Some of us just like this. Some of you have learned how to silence your snore. Some of us sleep with our eyes wide open and maybe have some vital signs that you're not really asleep in a scientific definition, but nonetheless, you're going through life and you're not allowing the Word of God to bring you to Him. He's here. Amen. And for those of you who can't get excited, I'm not saying you don't know Him. I'm not saying you don't sense His presence. But it's going to show up. You can't hide it. Like the woman at the well. She could not keep to herself. She was at Sychar, Jacob's well. She came there at the time of day. Don't need to tell you the story for time's sake. Some of you are already antsy already, and I got to hurry. But I can share this with you. I want you to know she wasn't studying at that point because she hadn't given her heart. Her affections weren't set on him. She was living in the world, like the world. She was of the world. But then he says, I can give you something that'll make a difference in your life. And he did. And she had to go to town and tell everybody, there's someone like none you've ever seen. These men were brought to him. You need to seek Christ in Christmas. By looking beyond the scoffers, my last point, beyond the scoffers. There's so much of that in the world today. Christians are not held in high regard, they're scoffed at. Bible tells us, by the way, that Herod responded in anger. He was troubled. The word troubled means to be stirred up. Threatened by the fact that the Messiah would come to power. So he sought for more information from the scribes. You know, there are people in the world today just like Herod who hate God, but God still loves them. We've got to take the message he loves them. There are people in the world today that know he exists and they hate him primarily because of his righteousness and his holiness. They know they can't live up to a standard. Some people will think they can and say, I live by the Ten Commandments. I take care of doing the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Or another will say, well, it's the Beatitudes. Blessed are ye when and you do this and that, and you know, and I'm meek and I'm this and I'm that. You can't keep the law. There are people in the world today like Herod that fight him and scoff at all those who do believe. They don't mind if we have church, but they want us to keep our faith inside these neat little perimeters of our home and our personal life. And if we want it to expand to go somewhere else, they don't want that. We're in a fight today. Someone said on the, I forget who it was, some well-known person in D.C. this last week said, it was one of the presidential candidates, Christie, said this, that he said he hinted at, he alluded to a little soundbite I heard. I didn't get the pre and post stuff, but what little I heard, Chris Christie said, we're on the edge of World War III. It's an interesting statement from the governor of New Jersey. Huh. How many agree we got issues? We got problems. How many agree with me that Jesus is the only answer? Chris Christie doesn't have it. Hillary Clinton doesn't have it. None of the other candidates have it, whether it's Trump or Carson or Rubio or Cruz. God has the solution. Religious leaders responded in that day with indifference. And I feel some of you may not be a religious leader, but I fear that some of you will respond indifferently today. When the religious leaders were summoned by Herod to give more information, they seemed to know that the prophets, they knew the prophets had written about the Messiah. We referenced that in this book written by Matthew, this Bible, our Bible. But these people, here's what the problem was. They said, well, why weren't they looking then? If they knew that there's this place he's going to be birthed, why weren't they looking? They weren't looking. Why not? The reason is they were too comfortable with their little small realm of religious practice. They said, leave me alone. They were committed to be content with where they were, and that is in the dark without a light, and they needed Jesus. Our world is like the world when Jesus was born. They just don't want their comfortable lives to be disturbed. I ask you, how will you respond? How will you respond? Will you be like Herod? Maybe in anger, you don't like my message. You say, I'll never go back there. That preacher preaches too long, too loud, and he's too opinionated. Well, I don't want it to be my opinions. I hope that you think that I've tried to give you verses for which I've tried to express to you what God says these verses are saying. Not what I think, but what he says. It's final. He's in authority. And you may angrily respond and say, well, maybe a member. Maybe you say, well, he stepped on my toes today. I don't like it. You know, some of you say you like it. I mean, I step on your toes and you're glad that it was preached that way. But there are some people that just don't like it. Who's he to say that we might not all have our affections be able to set up on him? We could go on, but we just need to look up. A couple slides later, Ethan, I have to finish. We just need to look up. If we look up, we'll discover the destiny that he wants us to discover. God loves you today. I'm asking you, will you respond to his love? Will you look to the sky, to the heavens where he is? Ask him to come into your heart and believe. Will you do that? And when you believe, he'll give the ability to set your affections on things above and seek them. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Bless this invitation. Lord, there may be a lot of people here that just need to pray. Oh, may they feel the sense that you'll meet them here at the altar. spoke with one person this last week, said that he thought he might join the church today, if it be your will, and wanted to know about the new members class. Oh, if it's your will and you're still speaking, may that man come. Whatever, wherever in our life you speak, may we respond, because you know you've spoken to us out of love. We ask and pray this in Jesus' precious name. Would you stand with us, please? Now, we're a Baptist church. That's who we are. In a traditional sense, that's who we are. And when we receive members, we receive them from another church of like faith, if you want to come into the fellowship of the church. But if you've never been scripturally immersed, as I was not when I had been baptized, saved and baptized, but never been immersed, I joined a church in February 1975, a brand new work, and I was the first one that was baptized in that new work. I've never regretted it. Not only do I worship him, but I work for him. He's my master. I don't mean I work because I'm on staff here. I mean you work for him. We serve him. He's our everything. If you want to come into the fellowship of the church and serve and worship him here, if that's God's leading, or maybe you have been saved, never baptized, we'd be glad to baptize you. But we want decisions made for Christ, that we look to the skies and look into the scriptures and find what he wants us to find, so we can set our affections there. Father, again, I pray that you bless in Jesus' name. Would you come as we sing? Would you come?
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus?
If you just need to come for prayer, great. If no one needs to come, pray where you are. Wonderful. Just let God work in your life. Let him have his way in your life. Like Zoe's song earlier, would you come and adore him? Oh, come, let us adore him. Experience his presence. Worship him. Oh, you just come. You can sit on the front pew. If you can't bend the knees, just sit on the front pew. And God will do a work in your life. We've had about 10 folk come for prayer, but I think, man, the altars are still open. There's still room. As Mike continues to sing, would you come? As Mike continues to sing, would you come? We have men here at the front and ladies who would love to pray with you. They'd like to introduce you to Jesus if you don't know him personally. We'll sing one more verse, but do you hear the theme of that song? This chorus, the rendering of that song tries to get you and me to think beyond our little circle where we are at 12 o'clock hour on December 6, 2015. It tries to get us to reflect in an examining way. I wonder if I've done my best for Jesus. It's a great, powerful, motivating thought to consider. Have you done your best for him? And then on the heels of that, it's asked through the song, I wonder if I have, when I know he has given me his best. Oh, don't sell out cheap. Give him your whole heart. Let him control your life, your worldview, everything about you, and he'll give you his riches and glory. We're going to sing one last verse. As we sing, would you come on our last verse of song?
I wonder, have I cared enough for others? Or have I left and died alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior. The sea of precious life I might have sown. How many are the lost that I have left? How many are the
Let's bow for prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this service. Lord, we thank you for your presence that you bring. We thank you for the hearts that were blessed. Lord, there's so many things that cover our eyes, cover our hearts, as preacher talked about. Sort of get in the way we should be. Lord, help us to stay strong, stand up as Christians, and do the work for you like we should. Lord, thank you for this crowd. Thank you for Zoe's song. It was a blessing. And Lord, we just ask you to be with the ones that leave and give them safe travel. Be with our services throughout the day. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.